This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, very happy to be with you today on this day that the Lord has made. We seek to rejoice and be glad in it in the midst of all things. Yes, indeed. We're always happy to be with you today and every day as we discuss issues of importance to your life and your faith. I want to give you that toll-free number to use if you are here in North America. We have Tom Price screening today, taking your call, so be sure to give him a howdy hey when you call in. That toll-free number for you here in North America is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Punch in those numbers and you can be with us on the air here, sharing with us, you know, what is on your mind, what is in your heart as we make our way through this pilgrim journey of life. Yes, seeking out those opportunities to draw ever nearer to our Lord, because our ultimate destiny is in heaven. Again, that toll-free number, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Also available for you there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Simply use the chat feature. Put in your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement, and we'll get it up on the board, and I will be happy to address it. Pedro Quiles is doing all of that kind of retrieving. Yes, he is. He'll get it up there, and we'll be able to chit-chat about your question or your comment. Additionally, you can text us. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. That's EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response, and then put in your question or comment. Do tell us who you are, where you are, and how you're listening, and know that data rates and message rates may apply. If you're a first-timer in any one of those three ways, first-time contacting us, either by phone or, you know, by text message or out there, you know, through messaging through YouTube and Facebook, we want to know, because I have a bell and I love to ring it. I ring that for your debut here on Women of Grace Live. So always happy to ring that bell, because it means, well, it's the first time that you're calling in. Doesn't necessarily mean it's the first time you're listening. I'm always surprised that people say, oh, I've listened to you for years. This is the first time I'm calling, you know? So don't be shy. Give it a try. Don't delay. Call right away. We want to talk with you today. At the beginning of the program, as you well know, I like to keep you informed about what's happening at Women of Grace. And, you know, we are in the midst of great preparation. Yes, we are. Why is that? Well, because our annual retreat is coming up later this month. Our annual retreat is July 25th through the 27th at Malvern Retreat House. We typically, most usually, and only very rarely, like twice in 20-some years, have we not had it the last weekend of July. So typically, you can set that on your calendar and know that our Women of Grace event is going to take place at Malvern Retreat House in Malvern, Pennsylvania, which is just outside of Philadelphia. A beautiful, beautiful ride from the airport to Malvern, or if you live in that area, you already know it's a beautiful ride. So we invite you to join us, whether you're coming in from a distance or whether you live there. You know, our retreats are very special. I say that because we always see an outpouring of grace coming from the heavenlies and being dispensed upon all that gather there at Malvern. First of all, the grounds are holy grounds. I think that that goes without saying. Since 1912, there have been retreats that have been taking place at Malvern. Began really as a retreat house for men only, and then in 1986 opened its doors to women. We were not there in 86, but we came, well, not all that terribly long after that. And, you know, we've been holding retreats there for a number of years, and we're very, very grateful to be part of the great Malvern retreat tradition that takes place there. So you've got these holy grounds. In addition to that, there is something that happens. You know, there's just something that happens at these Women of Grace events, you know, and it never ceases to amaze me. I think part of it is because people come with expectant faith, and the Lord meets us in expectant faith. Note how it is that good things happen in sacred scripture. You know, Jesus Christ Christ asks, do you believe that I can heal you, right? Do you believe? And when people say, yes, Lord, then amazing things happen. And I think that the attendance of the women is a fiat to God. It's saying, yes, I believe, I believe. And he pours out his blessings in abundance. We have seen all kinds of healings through the years. We have seen emotional healings. We have seen psychological healings. We have seen physical healings. We have seen spiritual healings. We have seen people be set free from addiction and people being set free from, deep regret and inability to forgive themselves for past sins. We've seen people's lives being changed. And we've seen this all through the history of Women of Grace at Malvern and through our studies. It's really quite something. And it's, I believe, a ministry that God has raised up for such a time as this. And he certainly shows up. When we open up, he shows up. He will never trespass our free will. And the women come, generally speaking, ready. Sometimes they come in fear and trembling because they don't know what to expect. But when they leave, they understand that this was a holy invitation from God. So I just want to share this with you. If you're feeling a prompting of the Holy Spirit, if something that I've said today or that you've heard in the past has moved your heart, that is the Holy Spirit speaking to you. It is an invitation from heaven saying, go, see for yourself. Receive the graces that I have in mind for you. We have a beautiful theme this year. It's hope for the journey. We need hope, don't we? Daily events that are taking place here in the United States and beyond show us that we need to exercise that theological virtue of hope. We need to put legs to it and feet to it. And travel through our life in it. Hope for the journey is the beautiful theme that we will be discovering and talking about all through the course of the weekend. We've got a beautiful roster of presenters. Bishop William Walter Scheid, Auxiliary Bishop of the Diocese of Pittsburgh, is going to be with us. He is our spiritual director and spiritual advisor. Beautiful, holy man of God. Paternal heart that is just, I can't even express how beautiful his heart is and how much he loves Women of Grace and loves God's daughters. He is going to be with us. Kitty Cleveland is going to be with us. If you're a regular listener to our radio program, you know that Kitty calls in every once in a while. She and I have been great friends for many, many years. She is a very gifted woman of God. She has an absolutely beautiful voice. She sang at mine and Jack's wedding, just an absolutely incredible voice. She will lead us, to the heights of prayer through her singing. She will be singing for us through the course of the weekend. Although our main music group is Living Praise, they will be leading us in praise and worship throughout the course of the weekend. Kitty is going to be presenting on hope. Everybody will be, but in different buckets, so to speak. She's going to be sharing her own story of sorrow and suffering, and also the story of her father, an incredible story of being falsely accused and imprisoned and exonerated. What a story that is. Patricia Sandoval is going to be with us. Patricia is seen here on EWTN's Spanish programming. She is a beautiful, beautiful woman. She's going to talk with us about hope. She was homeless. She was addicted to drugs, and what a gorgeous woman of God she is today. She's going to tell us all about it. Dr. Donald Wallenfang is going to be with us. He is our academic advisor. He's going to be presenting, and so am I. So mark your calendar. Join us. You can register right online at womenofgrace.com. Join us for this beautiful, beautiful event. Hope for the Journey, July 25th through the 27th. We're coming right back. I got more to share with you. Yes, I do. 833-288-EWTN is the number to use. We want to hear from you so you can share too. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams. Very happy to be with you today. I certainly am. Eager to hear from you, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That is the way that you can join us right here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having that holy conversation with you. We're also available for you, as you well know, out out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Simply use the chat feature there. Put in your question or comment, insight, inspiration, or a word of encouragement, and we'll get it retrieved and up on the air for you. Additionally, you can text us. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Put in your question or comment. Do let us know who you are, where you are, and how you're listening, and know that message and data rates may apply. We've got Pedro Quiles doing the retrieving. We've got Tom Price doing the screening, and we've got Vanessa Sanchez there manning or womaning the controls there, making this whole program happen. And we're so grateful for this merry trio that helps us to get all of this out there to you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. I was telling you about our upcoming Women of Grace retreat that's happening at Malvern July 25th through the 27th, encouraging you to join us. Do want you to know that on this Saturday, we are having a retreat day for young women of grace. And I want you to know that, you know, if you bring your daughter with you or your granddaughter, your niece, your goddaughter, a student, whatever the case may be, your young lady is welcome to join us on Friday evening and welcome to join us for the healing service on Saturday night and obviously on Sunday morning for the closing talks and the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. But during the day on Saturday, we'll have a special presentation just for them. We've got all of that information for you at our website, womenofgrace.com, hoping that we get young women to come. I'll tell you, it is so very important to help our young ladies see who they are, to understand the great gift that is theirs by way of their authentic femininity, to help them embrace that and live in that. Because as we well know, there are voices afoot in the culture of the day that would simply seek to convince them that there is no such thing as male or female, that that's just a construct of society, and that we can be whatever gender we want to be, and that there's a multitude of different genders. Well, that isn't the case at all. Not only is it verifiable by the way in which God's created the human person in their bodies, but it's verifiable by way in which the man and the woman actually intuit life and live life and the way in which they see the world. We want our daughters to understand the gift that they are. We really encourage you to become familiar with our Young Women of Grace program. I do want to let you know also that the Benedicta Enrichment Seminar, the Benedicta Institute for Women, is an outreach of Women of Grace. It helps women to take a deeper look at the realities of the feminine genius and to live that, showing them how to live that in the world today. You can actually get a certification in Catholic Women's Leadership through the Benedicta Institute. And preceding our retreats at Malvern every year, we have a Benedicta Enrichment Seminar. And this year, Dr. Donald Wallenfang, who is our academic advisor, I was telling you about him prior to the break, he is going to be presenting it. Consecrating Conflict, Finding Hope in the Struggle is the title of these presentations that he will make. That is going to begin on July the 24th, and it's going to run through the afternoon, probably ending around 3 o'clock in the afternoon of the 25th, so that you can get ready for the retreat that happens later that night. Now, you know, you can come to either, you know, you can come to either or. You can come to the Benedicta Enrichment Seminar or the retreat, or you can come to both. However it is that you want to do it, many women, the majority of women that come to the Enrichment Seminar stay on for the retreat, but sometimes schedule doesn't permit for that length of time, and they make a decision for one or the other. But we want you to come to this Enrichment Seminar. It's going to be an amazing presentation. Dr. Wallenfang is just an incredible teacher. Golly gee, just really fantastic. And this is going to be quite something. So we invite you to join us for this event as well. I want to leave all of that to the side now and talk about, what happened here over the course of our July 4th weekend. And you know that I'm talking about the devastation that took place in Kerrville, Texas. Our radio program is heard in various locations throughout the state of Texas. And I simply want to express to everyone my solidarity with you in this time, the solidarity of all of us at EWTN. I want to let you know that our prayers are with you, that we stand with you in this, that we are making intercession for all of the families who have lost loved ones, for all of those parents who have lost their children, a devastation too great to appreciate, in terms of the change of life that this kind of a tragedy brings on. We will be praying for you at Women of Grace. Our regional coordinators are all praying. Our women are all praying. We will be offering masses for the repose of the soul of all of those who died, children and adults that died in this terrible flood. And we will be praying also through these masses, having them offered for all of the family members. I thought we would talk just a little bit about what you can do in these situations. And certainly we know that the first and foremost thing that we can do is to pray. But there is also something to be said for the gift of our presence. You know, as I've been listening to various individuals from Texas on the different newscasts, it's very obvious to me that so many individuals know someone whose child was there in one of the camps, or knew individuals that were vacationing up there at the Guadalupe River area during the 4th of July. My own daughter, who is a Houstonian, shared with us that she knows individuals who you know, have been affected by this. It's that kind of reality that draws us all to the tragedy and makes us very aware of how necessary it is for us to be present to those who have lost individuals. I was thinking about this in my time of prayer this morning, and I was reflecting on my own grief in losing a child and then in losing a husband. And I was thinking about, what was it that was most important to me in that moment? It was the gift of the presence of friends, just knowing that they were there. There is no word that can take away the pain or the suffering. Well wishes, of course, express the intention and the love of the person who issues them. But having that person just there, just being with you in this, and just knowing that they are there for you in this, whether they can physically be with you or can only be with you through prayer or can be with you in a spiritual sense, knowing that they are emotionally connected to you at the time is the greatest thing that you can do. Not abandoning them. It was startling to me after Simon died that so many individuals, even within our own church community, kind of just avoided us. And my husband said it's because we're living their worst nightmare. And there was truth in that. But I also think it's their lack of comfort and in not knowing what to say. And as I say to you, the best thing that you can do is just let that individual know that you are praying for them and that you're there for them. That is the greatest gift that you can do. And that's what you can do in the immediate time. Obviously, the ways in which we show that we're there for them, you know, through the way in which we care for them during that time, you know, being there physically if we can be, planning meals for them. Those kinds of things are acts of charity that go a long, long way and lets the person know that they're not alone in this misery, that they're not alone in this suffering. But then, you know, there is something that you can do in the time that is not the immediate time, but in the early days of the grief that follow in those first weeks and in those first months. And that, I would say, again, is you know, incorporating that person into your life, inviting them over to your home, talking with them, giving them a phone call, reaching out to them in some way, maintaining your friendship with them. That was another thing that amazed me after my late husband passed away, was that, you know, a lot of the friends that we had as couples, you know, I stopped hearing from those people. I had one couple friend that stayed very, very close to me and incorporated me into their life. And I can't tell you what that meant to me. And they remain very, very dear friends of mine, and now of mine and Jack. And, you know, that meant so much, just to feel as though you were maintaining some kind of tie to what had been. So I would encourage you, you know, don't pull away, but rather draw near and include. And, you know, as the days and the weeks turn into, you know, months and years, and those years turn into decades, you know, when someone brings up the person that's passed away, you know, allow them to speak about that individual. You know, you remember that individual to them. I like when people remind me and say things to me, oh, I remember when your son did this, or do you remember when Anthony did that? You know, I like that. There's a beautiful connection of the heart that occurs in those moments. So those are just some thoughts that have come into my mind. I personally, I'm not aware of anyone that I know that is suffering the loss of a loved one through this tragedy right now. But in that connection is the communion of saints, there is that spiritual tie to their suffering. And so continue to pray every time the situation itself crosses your mind, or you see something on the newscast, or you hear something from someone else. You know, pray, send a prayer. We know this. We know that God hears prayer, and we don't know the mystery of how it is that God weaves our prayer into a tangible reality in the life of that individual. But I can tell you this: prayer is palpable. And I remember so very vividly knowing that when Simon passed away, that I was standing on the prayers of others. I was upright through the prayers of others. I was able to move forward through the prayers of others. They were palpable. They could be felt. And I've spoken with many other people since who have lost loved ones and knew that people were praying for them, and said, I could feel the prayers. And you can absolutely feel the prayers. So I want to encourage you to reach out. I when Cy died, you know, I was known to the EWTN audience of listeners and viewers. And I received so many cards and so many letters from people that I had never met that told me that they were praying. And I knew that they were. And it was almost as if, you know, their prayers formed stepping stones for me, that helped me to walk and to embrace the cross that God had offered to me, and to find in that cross a treasury of grace that was available for me, but not only for me, but available for others as well. So pray for all of those individuals who are grieving now. And of course, pray for the souls of the deceased. You know, we think of the little children and we think, well, surely they don't need our prayers. Well, we don't know that. What we do know is that we're called to pray for the dead. It is a spiritual work of mercy. And so I want to encourage you in that direction. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having that holy conversation with you. I'm looking forward to hearing from you today. Maybe you have some thoughts on how it is that you can be of service, that you can be of loving service to someone who's going through a great trial or a great tragedy. Maybe you have experienced the love of others during a time like that. We would love to hear about it. Who knows how you might not spark some kind of interior response from someone else who's listening today that can make a difference in the life of someone who is suffering right now because of grief. 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-3986. EWTN. Also available for you at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Simply go on out there to those locations and use the chat feature at those sites. Put in your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement, and we'll get it. Remember that it's Tom Price that is receiving your phone calls today. It is Pedro Quiles who's doing the retrieving and getting your comments up on the board. It is Vanessa Sanchez who is operating all those controls there in the studio at EWTN and making the program happen. You know, there's those beautiful passages that we find in the Psalms that bring such solace to the heart in these moments. One that I think is especially beautiful is that God draws near to the brokenhearted. God draws near to the brokenhearted. What solace and comfort that brings to someone who has lost a loved one, to someone who is suffering in some way. So I encourage you, you know, dip into the Psalms when you're going through a rough time. They do bring comfort. They do remind you that we have a future full of hope in the Lord, that our suffering and our trial and our grief does not have the last word, that God is going to work great good out of everything because he promises us that he will work great good out of everything. And we look at situations like this and we say, well, how could a good God permit this? Well, we live in a broken and fallen world, and we know that natural disasters are part of this world in which we live in. It's part of the fall of man to experience these kinds of moments through natural causes. Yes, it's hard for us to wrap our minds around. But this is where that great virtue of hope, which is the theme of our upcoming retreat, this is where hope comes in. Hope is not necessary except in times of great trial. Hope is not necessary except in those moments when everything seems hopeless. That is when hope is proven. That is when hope can shine. And that is when we lean into hope. And that is when we let hope be forged in our hearts. It's in the crucible of suffering that we discover and taste and see that God is truly good. And so these moments of suffering can be of great benefit to the soul. In those early days, it captivates us. But then, in a certain way, as time moves, it marinates the soul. And the soul begins to discover the various qualities and gifts that suffering can hold when we hope in God and place our trust and faith in him. Coming right back, 833-288-EWTN.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Jeanette Williams. Very happy to be with you today. We love spending this time with you Monday through Friday as we discuss issues of importance to your life and your faith. I'm always eager to hear from you. We're discussing suffering today. We're discussing grief today in light of everything that's happened in Texas over the course of this weekend. How is it then that we make our way through this time of grief? It occurs to me that perhaps you have suffered greatly. Perhaps you have suffered a deep grief, a deep reversal in life. We invite you to call us and share about it. Tell us how God showed up in the midst of all of that. We've got a toll-free number for you here in North America. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Pick up the phone, give us a call here. We have Thomas Price out there on the phones today. Tom Price will take your call, get you up on the board, and we'll be able to chit-chat together. Ace McKay is on social media today. I was announcing that it was Pedro, but Ace is in for Pedro today, and he's going to be retrieving your questions or comments that you leave for us at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel or Facebook page. Simply use the chat feature there and put in your question, your comment, your insight, your inspiration, or your word of encouragement, and we'll get it up on the board and I'll be able to address it. In addition, we have Vanessa Sanchez in the studio today, and she is making the show happen by manning, womaning, all of those those controls that are there. So we invite you to make use of this opportunity and join us, 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-EWTN. We love to hear from you. Also encouraging you to get out there and to take a look at our website, womenofgrace.com. I was telling you earlier about our wonderful, wonderful Women of Grace retreat that is coming up at Malvern, July 25th through the 27th. Not too far away now, but it isn't too late to register. So we invite you to check it out. Register right there at womenofgrace.com. You will be able to access the way in which you do that wherever there is a hyperlink in reference to the retreat, and they're all over the homepage, so that's not going to be hard to find. Additionally, we invite you to join us for the Benedicta Institute for Women, and if you have a young person, we invite you to bring your daughter or your granddaughter or your niece or your goddaughter to the Young Women of Grace event that's taking place on this Saturday on July 26th. I want to send out some congratulations today. Congratulations going out to another great EWTN radio partner who is celebrating 10 years with us, WWGL 97.7 FM serves Steubenville, Ohio. We're so excited that you are celebrating 10 years. That's wonderful. Congratulations to everyone at our Ladies Radio from your friends here at EWTN. Do want to send out congratulations to you. I'll tell you, our radio partners are really quite something, and we so appreciate our affiliates, and I always like to remind everyone, especially on these occasions, to support their affiliates. They exist because you support them. They are not-for-profit organizations, and they need your help. So please, please, please support your local affiliates. They're bringing EWTN programming to you, the Word of God, coming through the airwaves because of their efforts. So do show your appreciation by helping them with their various radio-a-thons and also just, you know, on a monthly basis if you can do it. Those monthly contributions really, really help them in tremendous ways. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That is the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having that holy conversation with you. We have Mike with us. Mike is in Atlanta, listening to us via Sirius Station, Sirius XM Station 130. Good morning to you, Mike. Hi, Mike. You're on the air.
Hey, Jeanette. I lost my wife 3 months ago today. And it was totally unexpected. She got sick, and she died unexpectedly. There's no rush to the doctor, no preparation. She was young, 56. I'm an attorney. We worked together for 32 years, on top of being married for 37. I have not blamed God one bit.
Yeah.
But I don't wish this suffering on anybody.
I know.
I do accept it as a grace. But it's the hardest thing I've ever encountered in my life. And I've encountered some rough things, but this takes the cake. I won't say it can't get worse. It can always get worse. But I thank God for the suffering, because it has turned up some graces. I just ask for prayer for perseverance through it, and continued courage and strength. I have not asked God for an explanation, nor should I. It's just a very, very tough thing. Just very tough, and I 3 months ago we had the world by the tail, and in a blink it changed, and it's tough.
There's no question, Mike, that it is tough. And when the death is an unexpected death, it's even tougher. There's a tragic reaction that happens in the soul because there is no preparation. And I think a lot of our listeners know my story. I've experienced both a tragic death and an anticipated death. The harder of the two is the tragic death. I have to say that I admire the fact that you're not blaming God. You know, I never asked the Lord, why did this happen in either case? I didn't ask the Lord that, Because we know that his ways are inscrutable to us. Scripture tells us that, that God's ways are not our ways. We don't understand them. And I think that when we try to delve into that kind of a consideration, not only do we become frustrated, but we become angrier because we're trying to pierce a mystery that our minds can't pierce. But this is what we do know about God's inscrutable ways. We know what Scripture says, and you know this, and you're discovering this. Romans 8:28, that he works all things to the good. And I remember that when Simon was taken from me, I knew that God would not have taken this child unless God knew that this was the best time for this child to come to him. It could have been that that was the moment that Simon was the closest to him, and maybe his soul would have been in peril had he lived any longer. I don't know, but this is where that trust and that hope and that faith in God comes in. And that is when we just plunge ourselves into that mystery and say, fiat, I accept. Show me, Lord, what I need to see, but only what it is that I need to see to take the next step in faith and trust and hope in you. 3 months is early, Mike. It's really, really early. And you're adjusting to a new normal. Everything is different. You're right about that. Nothing is the same. And nothing is ever going to be exactly as it was. But you will find, in time, that you will be able to accommodate life around the grief. The grief never goes away. People talk about, well, you know, it lessens, it's this, it's that. Those might be all ways to express the fact that what we do is we learn to live our life around that grief. And that grief, however, can present itself at any given moment in time. And there are some sadnesses of heart that we will always experience. And yet, when we train ourselves to praise and thank God, even as that stab comes, we find that there is some kind of sweet joy. One other thing, Mike, you know, that I'll mention to you is that, suffering is the very intercession that God offered to the Father for the sake of our salvation. And so when we take the suffering that we're feeling, the pain and the sorrow and the sadness of heart and the misery and the torment and all of that, when we take that and we offer it to the Father in union with Christ, and I mean seriously in union with him, you know, even picturing perhaps us taking that suffering and placing it into his open side as he hung on that cross, or, you know, placing it somewhere in one of the wounds that our Lord suffered, when we suffer in union with him, there is so much benefit that can be wrought for the soul of our loved one. Because all of that is outside of time and space. In other words, God takes our prayer in time and he applies it to the moment that our loved one is standing before him. It is a great mystery, but this is a mystery that the saints talk about, and it's a reality. And so in a certain sense, that very suffering becomes a gift for our loved one or for the sake of others. And what a beautiful gesture, even as you're missing your wife at this time and grieving her, to offer some of that suffering and grief for these families that have lost their loved ones in such a tragic way. That will redound to you, and in a certain way, again, mysterious, it will redound to your wife as well. John the 23rd said something that I held on to, and he said, our loved ones are not separated from us, only invisible to us. So we are united to them in the communion of saints. So let's just say a little prayer. Tell me, Mike, what is your wife's name?
Kelly.
Kelly. Well, Father God, we come before you in this moment. Mike and I stand in your presence, along with all of our listeners today, and we present Kelly to you. You created Kelly in your image and likeness, Lord, and you gave her life, that through this life she might come to know you and to love you, that she might spend all eternity with you in heaven. And even at the moment that you placed her in the womb of her mother, you knew the perfect time that would come when you would take her home to you. And so you have. And now she is with you, Lord. And Father, I'm asking that in your mercy and kindness, that all of the treasures of heaven would be open to Kelly. We don't know, Father, if she gained immediate entrance or if she is in the process of purification and sanctification, but what we do know is that Kelly has the opportunity to experience beyond measure that love that you have singularly for her. And this love will never end, and it will be an infinitude of exploration and an infinitude of realization of who she is in you and the wonder of who you are in her. Father, I also pray for Mike. These early days are so hard, and I turn to you, Mary, our mother, because you know what? You grieved the passing of Saint Joseph. You loved him so, Mother. You understand what it's like to lose the treasure of your life, and you lost Jesus, the greatest treasure, and you lost your husband, Joseph. I know the Holy Spirit gave you consolation, and I'm asking now that the consolation that you received from the Holy Spirit, you would, through your maternal beatitude and intercession, extend to your son, Mike, right now, that he might feel interiorly that warm blanket of your motherly love for him that is lined with the consolation of the Holy Spirit, and that he would be enveloped in that consolation, especially in those moments when that grief jackhammers deeply within his heart and within his soul. I thank you, Father, for the beautiful marriage that Mike and Kelly had in this life. And now that they remain united to you in a different way, but nonetheless united, I pray that they would serve each other's salvation until in heaven they rejoice together in you who are Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so it is that we offer this prayer to you, Father, in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady. Amen. Thank you, Mike, for sharing with us.
Thank you.
You're welcome. God bless you. We have Ruth with us. Ruth is in Denver. We're going to go to Ruth. You can call us 2-833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Don't be shy. Give it a try. Don't delay. Call right away. It just may be that somebody needs to hear what you have to say today, that the Holy Spirit's prompting you because he knows that there's a heart that can be consoled by your testimony. We've got Ruth. Ruth is in Denver, and she is listening to us via Sirius XM, channel 130. Hi, Ruth.
Well, hi, Jeanette. I'm Ruth, longtime listener, I think first-time caller to your program.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm going to ring my bell for you, Ruth. There you go. Oh, welcome, welcome.
Thank you. And I haven't heard the whole program. I was... my baby dog, who's like 8 years old, was getting to play with a friend. And so as we got in the car and I headed over, I heard your topic, and it's going through, we're going through a tough time. I have a daughter who is an addict, and it doesn't want to change, maybe on the very, my faith is so strong, and she's reinterested in the faith. And so that's a very good thing, especially because, you know, if she continues on her current path, and I told your screener, I hope I'm not trying to be melodramatic, but I have to be realistic and also accept that, you know, she will probably die of this disease before we, her parents, do. And it's just the saddest thing. And yet I know God walks with us, and all the angels and the saints and Mother Mary. But yeah, so there's grace in it. There absolutely is. But, it's not an easy thing to accept.
No, Ruth, it isn't, you know, and I think that, there is a special kind of grieving that takes place when we watch a child's life spinning out of control. And knowing that there is nothing that we can do outside of the greatest thing that we can do, and that is to pray for them and to stand by them. And yet at the same time, it's a very delicate balance between helping your child to know and understand that you are there for them, and yet not to enable the behavior that they're choosing. Addiction is a terrible reality, and so many people facing that struggle in our culture today, and also so many people standing by watching their loved ones be consumed by an addiction. And you're right, it is not easy. I think that whether we're grieving as someone is day by day risking their lives and in some way diminishing their life through this kind of a situation, or whether we're grieving that someone has passed away, the suffering is the opportunity that we have to do the greatest good that we can do for them, because of what I shared with Mike. Jesus hanging on the cross uttered few words. One of them was asking and begging his Father to forgive the people that were crucifying him because they did not know what they were doing. The rest of the time that Jesus was hanging on that cross, his prayer was the very suffering itself. And that suffering is what bought us our salvation. Suffering has a great value. And the sadness of heart that you feel for your daughter, the disappointment that you feel over the choices that she's making, the worry and the concern that you feel, All of that can be used for her benefit, offering it to the Lord. What we see as impossible, the Lord says is possible. We see situations that we think, you know, could never be resolved, but we know that Scripture says that nothing is impossible with God. And again, we hold on to that hope. I have a little acronym for hope. I share it from time to time. I'm going to share it with you now because it's so applicable to your situation. Hope is that theological virtue, as we well know, that we receive at baptism, and it's strengthened in us through confirmation. But hope remains dormant in us until we exercise hope. So how do we exercise hope? How do we move in hope? We'll use the word hope itself. The H, hold on to the truths of the faith. Hold on to the truths of the faith. Hold on to what Holy Mother Church teaches us. Hold on to what Sacred Scripture tells us. For example, nothing is impossible with God, right? Hold on to the truths of the faith. The second letter is O. The O stands for own the challenge. You're in a challenge. And I'll tell you, the challenge is it takes place in the material world, what you're facing now through the addiction. But there's also an emotional challenge in this because of your maternal love for this girl and the suffering that you're experiencing watching her, make decisions that are only causing her condition to be exacerbated. And then there's a spiritual struggle. And the spiritual struggle is always the temptation that comes from the evil one, because he will take full advantage of our moments of grieving, our moments of suffering, to try to dissuade us from placing our hope and our trust in God. And he will incite contradiction into our soul and into our mind. And he does this through discouragement. And so he wants to discourage you. Don't give in to discouragement. And then the P, persevere. Persevere in prayer. Persevere in patience. And then the E, expect God to intervene. Look for him in the small ways. Look for him reaching out with his consolation through the Holy Spirit. Look for our Blessed Mother showing up in your life. She's being sent by her Son to give you that maternal consolation. I hope that helps you, Ruth, and I hope it helps all of you today. It's been a pleasure being with you. Let us continue to pray for all of those that are suffering in any way. We remember in a special way those in Texas right now. And so, dear friends, until we are together again, may God richly bless you. We'll be back tomorrow with Sue Brinkman. Bye-bye.